In a world of EMS podcasters, EMS Office Hours is the only live podcast bringing you the latest topics and opinions in EMS. Turn down your scanner and turn up your speakers as we join Jim Hoffman and Josh Knapp on their latest EMS podcasting journey.
Welcome to EMS Office Hours. This is Jim Hoffman. I want to thank you all for joining me for another episode of the show. Be sure to follow us over on Twitter. The Twitter account is at EMS Safe. And we're also on Facebook as well. And it's facebook.com/EMS Office Hours. This is sort of a special episode, not necessarily EMS related. But I feel with the actual topic, it is, I think, in a lot of ways, I think, public safety related. And I'm joined by Thaddeus Settler, or Ted Settler from Settler Films. Ted, you're with me, right?
I am.
All right. Well, thanks for joining me today. I want to, Ted, just real quick, if you want to give your Twitter handle out there so people know they can follow you as well before we get too deep into it. I don't want to pass that by.
Absolutely. You can follow me at Setla, so at S-E-T-L-A, or Google Setla, and you'll find me in one of those mediums.
Great. Yeah. Everywhere you turn, there's some type of social media. I mean, I'm on Google and LinkedIn and Facebook, and you know, I'm almost afraid to get onto the Pinterest and the Instagram and to have another medium to be putting stuff out there. But I guess that's sort of where we're at. And Ted, why don't you just kind of give a little background of yourself before we get into the actual topic, give people an idea of where you're from and your background.
Sure thing, yes. I've been in healthcare for probably close to 25 years, 13 of which were as a paramedic. Most of my career was in the city of Oakland, Alameda County, working with AMR, and worked as a paramedic firefighter back in Michigan. So I had a large upbringing in healthcare, pre-hospital, EMS, and this year will be 15 years. I have been married and have three children, so two girls and a boy. Their ages are 7, 11, and 12 right now. And so the last 10 years in raising these children has kind of introduced a lot of different things that I don't think I was ready for. I didn't think I had to have the conversation with. I thought it was almost assumed that certain behavior, when you give them these devices, certain behavior was already maybe expected. I demonstrated that by showing how I was. I don't know. I guess I didn't know. And then, of course, that's what kind of precipitated this entire film that I'm in the process of crowdfunding for right now, because of an incident that happened with my daughter.
And we're talking about this funded film you're trying to get funding for called Raising the Text Generation, but you're putting TXT in there, right?
Correct.
I actually came across it on Facebook, being connected to you there and read into it. And again, this is something where I guess you don't really expect to be confronted with this until maybe your children are at an older age. And I was talking to you a little bit before the actual show about how even my children now at older ages, I still get concerned with the way texting goes. When you talk things about sexting or cyberbullying and things like that, it's such a powerful thing nowadays. And it really is, I think, affecting kids of all ages. And like you said, you kind of think when your kids are young and they get these devices that they're not going to be open to it just yet, because a lot of times they're conversing with kids their own ages, but that's not necessarily true. So I thought it would be a good idea. I don't want to read verbatim what's on your funding pay. I thought maybe it give let you get in your own words, talk a little bit of what motivated you to start this project and the story behind it.
Sure thing. And thank you, by the way. This story actually started when my oldest daughter was 11 years old. It was New Year's Eve, and she and her friend, a couple of her friends, were upstairs while we, as parents, few of us, were just getting together, enjoying New Year's Eve. And apparently, a boy felt compelled to send a text of his penis to my daughter. And the only reason I actually found out about it, close to 8 months later, when a friend of hers actually asked me whether or not I had found out about what this boy had done. And I thought, since New Year's Eve all the way through the last 8 months, there were some emails that he had sent to her. There were some behavioral things at school that I was dealing with. So I knew that there was already, friction. And there are already things going on. I just didn't know to what extent. And then when she told me, "Oh no, did you see the picture?" And I was like, "No, what do you mean?" And it wasn't through email because I was actually monitoring her emails. It was this picture, of course. So when I found out about that, it took us about 3 months, for me to calm down and try to think a little more logically as to how we were going to handle this. Because the behavior of the child obviously was not changing so much, and he was still being a certain way towards my daughter that I was feeling very fatherly in my reaction. So it took me a while to calm down and kind of realize, okay, we got to have a meeting with the parents, we got to have a meeting with the principal. And after all that was said and done, I realized what was even bigger than just us confronting the situation for ourselves. Was that this child didn't even have a cell phone of his own. This child was using his parents' cell phone, and ultimately, having just kind of heard that, I was blown away that a child was using their parents' cell phone to do these things to my daughter, much less whoever else he was doing this to, and the parents didn't even know about it. Now, mind you, the parents are not. They're very astute parents in our school. Our school has a great community, and so for that to happen brought about the bigger issue for me in that, as technology savvy as I am, and perhaps many other parents think they are, the fact that kids don't communicate through Facebook, kids are communicating through Instagram or Snapchat or a lot of these newer apps that are coming out in ways that we just don't as parents. And so a lot of these kids even think Facebook is old school. So to hear that made me realize that even if I were to bring the topic up with other parents and have them have conversations with their kids about what's appropriate, what's not, it could very well save ridicule. It could save another child from having to go through this, or just teaching other boys good behavior when it comes to conversing online like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a certain etiquette that goes on with social media that especially at younger ages that they don't really understand, they don't know, and I think parents have difficulty, I think, sometimes sort of navigating those waters and letting kids know what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, what's appropriate, and like you said, without sitting there sort of monitoring every text, every picture that gets sent, it's hard to really, control it, especially like you said too, all these new apps that are coming out one after another, and they're all like Snapchat's one, it goes out there. Initially, it was, one of those things where you saw the picture for just a few seconds and it was gone. Then they figured out a way, okay, we can screen capture that. Now there's an app to go ahead and screen capture it, so. There's apps that come out there that are kind of meant to be maybe a short-lived type thing even, but even those are being circumvented because kids are much more savvier, I think, with a lot of this stuff than we give them credit for, looking at this project of yours, how long of a of a film you're looking to make this big? I know, I think I was looking at it, and you're looking for four separate, I guess four separate little mini films that's going to be part of one.
Well,
Did I
what we
get that
look
right?
well, actually, what we're looking at doing, because this topic actually has so many avenues to it, one of the first initial goal here is to take this short and develop anywhere from a 15 to 22 minute short. And our goal by staying in that range is to do multiple things. One, we want to make sure that it has enough of the kids' attention. Of course, feature length stuff these days is it takes a lot. And if you were to go down that road, it would require a much, much bigger budget. So our goal here is to get it into a length that can be adopted not only by say healthcare institutions or schools, religious organizations, and so on, to help actually bring about the conversation with the parents and kids and so on. The other thing is knowing, who our audience is. Our audience is kids, ages, 8 to 13 here. So we want something that can at least initially be something that they'd be willing to watch, share, relate to, understand. That's kind of how my life is right now, and see about what kind of impact that that possibly could have with sharing too much or just doing one thing inappropriate and the consequences that that possibly could have. And it's funny because knowing what we're trying to achieve with this film or this short, I've been confronted again with a bunch of other parents who I mean, we're talking about kids from ages 5 and up that have had some type of either harassment, cyberbullying, sexual misconduct happen to them in some way, shape, or form as early as 5 years old. And I'm almost I was almost taken back by hearing as many stories as I did. And I felt like when we initially thought this is one project, we almost felt now it would do an injustice to the topic if we only did one piece of content. We're looking at actually lengthening these into a more of a serial content and telling the extended story here.
Okay. Well, I mean, listen, I definitely think this is something that needs that attention. I think it's great that you're focusing it at the kids to kind of get them to sort of realize the importance of this, and even the ones that may be doing the bullying, right? Or even the ones that may be doing the initial, I'm going to send this naked picture to somebody of a part of my body or whatever, that they're realizing that consequence too, not just the one that's receiving it, the people that the kids that might be even sending it, and I mean, I've heard parents who have issues, giving their kids this technology at young ages because they're afraid of just what it is that you're trying to point out there. I don't want to keep you too long with this. I want to hit some of the highlights here. I'm going to, of course, put links to the funding page and links to where they can see the actual little video that you have. It's about 2 minute 40 second video that you have on it, which I think really gives a good vision of what you're trying to do here. But I thought maybe you can mention the team itself that's involved in this with you. Maybe a little bit of their motivation. I was looking at some of their stuff too, and a lot of them are motivated very similarly to the way you are.
Yeah, the team itself, what's beautiful about the team we do have is that three of us have worked together on multiple other projects before, so we have a really good working relationship, knowing what our strengths are, what tasks we're going to be able to pull off. Ben Hess, the director and writer on this project, has him and I have worked together on multiple projects to the point of knowing where his strengths are. I can back off and feel like, I can tell him my story and have him take it and tweak it and essentially keep the core of it, but know that we've got to, protect the innocent, if you will. And so his responsibility is to really make this as an engaging story as possible and know that we're trying to keep it semi-true to what it was. Matthew Price is a DP I've worked with on for the last couple of years as well. And it's always great to know that when you're pressing record on one camera, that you already know the angle, you already know what he's thinking, and we work that well together. So I'm looking forward to being able to kind of put this together with him. And our fearless producer, Mondo, she's actually from Greece and has come over from there to live in San Francisco to start working in other areas of production. She's got a long history of doing her first feature as well as number of shorts that are just amazing. So as a producer, she's bringing a wealth of logistics and just great help in terms of pulling this all together as well. So one last thing I just would like the audience to know, in terms of the platform that we're using as our crowdfunding platform, we've chosen Seed and Spark. Seed and Spark is actually more geared towards the short film or film community versus like a Kickstarter or an Indiegogo or any of
Okay.
those. And the reason is because now with Seed and Spark, they cater towards what it takes to actually get indie film done. And part of the benefits of that is that if we hit 100 or 500 followers within our film, and all you have to do is come and follow it. So it's if you're able to do that, I ask that you gotta go on over there, go and put in text gen or raising the text generation. Our film will pop up, and you'll see that there's a follow button right near the top there. If we hit 500 followers, we actually get an amazing distribution package that includes online, cable, theatrical release as well. So they've put together an extensive distribution package for this short, which I think is above and beyond whatever Kickstarter or anybody else would do. So that's one of our milestones, as well as hitting the 30,000 mark as far as our funding. And currently, we're just at over $18,000. So we're doing okay. We're getting there, but we only have 10 days left. So that's where we're standing right now.
Well, listen, I'm hoping that this will maybe give a little bit of a push for some more followers for you and give you some more awareness and maybe get some more funding in the process as well. I mean, I'm going to definitely keep following this. And again, I know that this is primarily an EMS related podcast, but I do feel that this is something that really falls into the public safety arena, like you mentioned earlier. The type This could be the type of a short film that can be shown at hospitals and pediatric facilities and things like that to really make awareness for this. So I think it all really does tie in the end. So I'm hoping that our fellow paramedics and EMTs and dispatchers out there agree with me on that and go ahead and follow this and recommend this to their friends and family as well. And get it out there, and hopefully you get that bigger distribution in the end for this, and great success with this short film. So I wish you all luck in that. Anything you want to end with before we close out?
I just want to say to my fellow EMSers and firefighter buddies out there, thanks again for all your support. It's projects like these that when they're cause related and you know that they can have a bigger impact, the success of that is generally your family and friends and the community that you're in. So I just can't thank the community itself enough for coming in, even though it's not specifically EMS or whatever. We all have families. We all have to
Yeah.
have gone through this at some point or is going through it now. And so that's the motivation behind me taking on a topic like this.
Great, great. All right, well, thanks again, Ted, for joining me. Again, anybody you want to make some comments or questions about this, you can do it on the blog at emsofficehours.com. Also, you can check out again the Facebook page, and that's facebook.com/EMSOfficeHours. You can check out the links that should be below in the show notes for the direct link to the Seed and Spark page for this project, where you can just go there real quick and click follow and show some support for that. And again, make some comments there, even on that page, if you're able to as well. So, all right, Ted, that's it for me. Until next time, guys, as always, Jim Hoffman for EMS Office Hours. Stay safe.